say, I spent Christmas till now nursing an injured right foot. How I got injured, I don't know. And this morning, I decided to do some gardening because Joanne told me so. And I got stung by a wasp on my nose. So from my nose to my toes, I had different degrees of pain. I'm glad I still can bring you some joy. But in all seasons of life, we must give thanks. In all situations, we just want to say that God is still a good God. And how wonderful it is to hear what a powerful testimony of Michaela and her secret diary. I need to introduce her to iCloud. But really, as we gather, let us really give thanks to God. Can we just give God a good clap today and say, God, you are good. You have all reasons for us to give you thanks, not because you have done great things, but because you are a great God. Amen. And last year, we ended well. We have the installation of our first assistant pastor, Jeremy. And so you know that he's taking on new roles this year in overseeing SEEK and TBC and allied groups. It doesn't mean I now can kick back and relax. I got other things I need to focus on in the areas of worship and mission outreach. But together, how wonderful it is that we are partnering in ministry, not just both of us, but us as a family, as a household of faith, to see God going to prosper us in the things to come. Amen? And also that, you know, how wonderful it is for First Light to come into partnership with LGCC in 2019. And slowly God led us to a great adventure together. And how many of us were blessed by Christmas in Guelap? You know, about 600 to 700 people gathered there. And we somehow, we believe the grace of God is depositing the spirit of people. But as a church, we believe in partnership. And this year, we're going to partner with, of course, Eager City Mission. And many of us were impacted by the sharing of Pastor Bessel and Pastor Yvonne. Right? How many of us were impacted? And end of this month, on a Sunday, a few of us are gathering to go to look at the ministry and how we can be part of it. If you're interested to be part of it, again, go to Joanne and she will give you all the necessary information. And of course, we know that, well, we can't run away. The COVID restriction is upon us. I know many of you are not used to wearing masks, and I will keep my sermon short and sweet so you can breathe fresh air. But most important, as a church, we continue to grow as a church in terms of a culture of welcome, but most important also how we have strengthened ourselves in the Word of God. And over the past couple of years, we have gone through the book of Ephesians and Matthew and Acts. And this year, we're going to study four books. Can you say hallelujah? You know, we're going to study four books. We're going to study Ruth and 1 and 2 Timothy and Jonah. And of course, in between, we have other guest ministry coming to minister to us. But these four books are important because it talks about a welcome culture. These were people who are outsiders. And how do we deal with outsiders? So the story of Ruth, story of Timothy and Jonah talks about how people were called to be welcomers to outsiders, or much more. As we strengthen ourselves in the Word of God, we will grow from grace to grace. And of course, last year, we have a few new believers, and I so-called formed a Bible study group, and we were studying the Bible together. And this year, we're going to study the book of Colossians somewhere in the middle of January. And again, for those of you who are new to the faith or you want to engage the Word of God in a very so-called systematic way, you're always more than welcome. You can talk to me or to Christina or Shane, and I think they will give you all the necessary information or what we're going from there. But much more, I think, as a church, not only when you want to grow in biblical literacy, to know the Word of God, we're going to learn new stuff. Right, we're going to learn new words. And Jeremy, from March onward, he's going to do a series in every month on salvation history. And salvation history is important because it talks about how God created the world to reveal Jesus Christ to the Old Testament, right, to the New Testament. And of course, we know salvation history is still ongoing. It did not just stop on Resurrection Sunday, but we all know Jesus is coming again for us. Amen? And this is important. And all these things is God bringing us together as a people of how, as a church, that no matter what season we are in, God's heart is always for the lost, for the marginalized. And God is giving us opportunity, just not through His Word, not through a sermon series on salvation history, about how we can be partnering with churches out there or ministry out there to reach out to the marginalized, to those who are downtrodden or those who are struggling, the vulnerable, in a very meaningful way. So these are things God is doing. And all this we can say, amen. Amen? So this afternoon, I want to share with you a short message called Sing a New Song. And this is important. Stop singing the old song, start singing the new song. When I talk about singing a new song, I'm not talking about we need to create new songs altogether, but new songs could be songs that are meaningful, songs in which God is stirring our hearts to sing those songs again. A song that is prophetic, that speaks about our life in Christ, that speaks about our future, but much more of what we want to see. So instead of bringing the old complaints of 2021, in 2022, this Sunday, I'm determined to sing a new song. Let us look at Psalm 98, and this is where we're going to reflect together on Psalm 98. And here, the psalmist sang this song. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with a lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands, let the hills sing for joy together before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. This is an important song for the Jewish people. This is what we call a royal song, a royal psalm. A royal psalm is a psalm that declares God is king. It declares the coming Messiah. Now, those of us who love watching movies, especially those famous ones, we all, by a tune of that movie, or every movie carries an iconic tune. I think most of us, I mentioned to you Star Wars, most of us can hum at least the opening tune of Star Wars. Can we do that? Don't do it now. Or James Bond, right? Can you hum it? Right? Or Indiana Jones, right? And these are iconic tunes. The moment you hear this tune being played on the movie trailer, you know, oh, it's a new series coming, a new part altogether. And now, Psalm 98 was the iconic theme songs of the people at that time. In history, to the Jewish people, there was two important points. One was when God called them out of from Egypt, right? The Exodus from Egypt into the Promised Land. There was a time God was delivering his people from the bondage of the Egyptian. And that was a very critical point of the history of the Jewish people, that we remember God's faithfulness, God delivering them. And the other part of the Jewish history that was very important for them was their time being captives or in exile in Babylon. This was a time in which God told the people they should not forsake their ways to follow him. They did not obey God, and somehow God lifted out his hands of protection, and these people was invaded by the enemy, the Babylonian, and later they were captured and sent to exile, in exile for 70 years. But in the midst of everything, God sent them prophets like Isaiah, begin to tell them there will be a time God is going to bring them back into the promised land. So in the history of the Jewish people, the exodus from Egypt to the exile in Babylon was two critical things. But in Babylon, as they begin to hear the prophets telling them and promising them of the future, they begin to write the Psalms. In fact, most of the Psalms were written at a time in which they declared the kindness and the goodness of God. And this was a theme song for the people for 70 years. They are believing God. And imagine the day came where the king told them it's time for them to go back to the promised land, as they began to walk across the plain in their camels or on their foot or on their feet. They begin to sing this song of sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things.
To sing a new song, here it means a fresh song, a song in which they want to declare God is marvelous, God is wonderful, and the word marvelous is extraordinary. How many of us have seen God's extraordinary hands in our life? We have. And when we see those things that's happening in our life, there's reason for us to sing. And as I said before, the word new doesn't mean new, that it has not existed before. But in our hearts, in our attitude, it makes it new. Somehow that song becomes that song that gives us and set us for a season in which we say, God is still a good God. God will see me through the situation. And he says with his right hand, and his holy arm, he has worked salvation for him. See, the right hand of God is important. Right hand represents salvation, protection, promise, and provision. And the holy arm means that it's the strength of God. So how God began to work in our lives through history, through episodes, is through the skills of his right hand and through the strength of his holy arm, God will work salvation. God will bring hope in hopeless situations. And he says here, when God does something, he says, the Lord, in verse 2, the Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nation. Where sometimes in our lives, it seems that God is doing nothing. How many of us have that kind of experience? Right? Can I tell you something? When nothing is happening, something is happening. The silence of God is not logical. Sometimes the silence of God is not rational, but the silence of God is relational. When God is silent, it means he is not perturbed by your situation. Doesn't mean he doesn't care. But he is engineering, he is working, he is bringing something to pass with his right hand, with his holy arm. That there are times that God seems to be hidden away, but there are times God will show his open hands. This year is 2020, and you know in Hebrew numbers, okay, Hebrew alphabet numbers is always a picture. And the word 20 is actually a picture of two open hands. The number 22, just in case you don't know, is 2 times 11. And 11 in Jewish numerics, Hebrew numerics, means chaos. So when you have 22 is double chaos. When you put 20, 22 together, it means in the midst of chaos, you're going to see the open hands of God. Some of you, I expect hallelujah. Like, we're going to leave this place, we're going to find chaos and calamities or problems, but the thing is, God is going to show his open hands. God is going to show his hands of deliverance. He's going to bring us out of situation that we think is impossible because he says in verse 3, he has remembered, that means God never forgets, his steadfast love. The word steadfast love in Hebrew is hased, which means his never-ending grace and his faithfulness. So in one sense, God remembers us that he will show his unfailing love and his faithfulness. And the word faithfulness is important because the word faithfulness is always about fulfilling his promises. Why do you think God gave us the Bible? He gave us the Bible because every time as you read it, we read the promises of God. And God put his name behind his promises and God says, I am going to bring it to pass. And the more we understand the scripture, the more we let scripture speak into our heart, the more we can see God's promises coming to pass again and again. And sometimes when we do not know the word of God for ourselves, sometimes when we do not just simply go deep into the word of God, things happen, we feel very lost, we feel very neglected. But when we establish ourselves in the very truth of God's word, in the foundation that his word to us is his unfailing love, and his faithfulness, when you hold on to God's word, you're going to see things to pass. And how God relates to the Jewish people is a pattern of how God is relating to us as his people, the church. So wonderful it is. It says here that he will reveal, In verse 3, he has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth has seen the salvation of our God. It says that when God does something, God is going to establish himself, that he will bear witness to what he's going to do, that to the furthest of all nations, even in the most remotest place, people will see the salvation of God. And in Hebrew, the word salvation here is Yeshua. Now, who is Yeshua? Jesus. So literally, you have a double meaning. You're going to see God's saving hands at work, but they're going to see Jesus to the ends of the earth. You know, there's a book that I read many years ago called Eternity in the Hearts by Don Richardson. And he's a missiologist. That means someone who is expert in mission trends and movement. He says that in every culture he has explored, every culture, there's always a witness of God. That people somehow know God exists, or there is a word that God has given to someone that passed on from generation to generation. And when missionaries go to that place, they all knew that these people are bringing the truth. They are the people who bring the gospel to them, because they will say that our ancestor tells us one day someone will come and bring us this book. And we saw this book in your hands, and we know that you are the one that's been foretold from generation to generation. And this is how God works. That God witnessed himself to us through creation. God witnessed himself through his very word. But God witnessed his perfect love for us through Jesus Christ. Next verse, it says, make a joyful noise to the Lord. When was the last time you made a joyful noise? I think most of the time we make some noise, but not sure if it's joyful. But here, joyful noise, just in case you don't know what's a joyful noise, it is actually a war cry. If you've gone through enough National Geography documentary, you realize, in some culture, when they go to war, whether they're Native Americans or the Celts, right, they like to give war cries. Okay? And war cries, so-called, is very powerful. It is a psychological warfare. Before you engage your enemy, you go, la, 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 la. Now, you're going to affect them mentally. Right? Okay, I'm sorry you didn't watch the movie. I'm going to give a movie spoiler here. Shang-Chi. Remember, what's the girl's name? Forgotten. He said, when you are confronted, he starts to say Hotel California. And they call throw the person off. Right? And this is what war cries does. It throws people off. But we do war cry, is that sometimes there's your place where you are, where you can no longer worship, or you find it hard to worship, you find it so full of struggling, you are encamped by the enemy around you, you just give a joyous shout to the Lord. And you say, it break forth into joyful song and sing praises. Sometimes we need to break forth into joyful noises before we can see our breakthrough. Sometimes we don't have time to wait for Sunday to come. You get what I'm saying? You can't wait for the worship team here and someone's going to play the guitar, someone's going to tune the lights in the right way. Then, now I'm in the mood to worship. Sorry, if your promise starts on Monday, you can't wait till Sunday. What do we need to do? War cries. And I find this very meaningful, because this is something that happened to me. There was a season in my life I was struggling. And that somehow that a lot of oppression was happening in the family, in the ministry. And someone at the time sent me a CD. Going back to 30 years ago, sent me a CD, right? And in case you don't know, never mind. But it was one of the first few Hillsong's CDs that came out. And the song that caught my heart was Shout to the Lord. And you know what I did? I put it in my CD room. Again, something you never seen before, but it did exist. And I played it nonstop. The moment I get to the office, that I left the office, is just sang the same song. Just went on and gone on and gone on. It was first the tune, and later the words. And came to a point, you know, sometimes in our life, we say, I have a fight to win. Right? Sometimes we say, we have a fight to win. But it came to a point in my life, I have a win to fight. Somehow I knew the breakthrough came in my spirit, that everything is going to be okay. How wonderful it is. Don't we want something in our life that when we pray, we're not praying to fight to win, but the way we worship, the way we praise, the way we engage the enemy, that we know we have a win to fight. Can I have a good amen? That's what we need to have. And he says here that in verse 5, sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and with the lyre and the sound of melody. With trumpets and the sound of the horn, make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. So again, it's an invitation to make joyful noise. So there are times you don't have the full band with you. Just shout to the Lord. Just pray. Just worship. Just sing new songs. Just begin to speak forth situation that doesn't seem to exist. Just speak forth and begin to praise God. But there are times we need to have so-called musical accompaniment. Like, it's so wonderful we have a worship team that we can sing along. And in life group, someone plays a guitar, we sing along. We worship with musical accompaniment. And we worship with liberty. We worship with uplifted hands. We worship with bended knees. And you know one thing I want to encourage you guys. Don't ever think for a moment, now I'm going to declare liberty here. Don't ever think that only the worship team can bring their guitars. If you feel like bringing a guitar on Sunday, please bring a ukulele, a harmonica, tambourine. If you have a pipe organ, please leave it at home. But if you feel led to bring your violin or your guitar or musical instrument, just bring, just play and just sing where you are sitting. Just don't think it's all limited to just on the platform. Just do it. It's going to shift, so-called, not just the spiritual atmosphere of this place, but also of your heart. But much more than that, you know, it's so much joy for me every Sunday. I would love to see kids dancing, like Asha or Emma, dancing or prancing. Sometimes not in rhythm, but still good. But what I'm saying this to you guys is, sometimes we get distracted. Oh, no, kids are making sure. Parents, if your kids feel like dancing, prancing during worship time, please let them do so. Why? How many of you were there to dance and pranks in front here? How many? Sorry. You know what? You don't have rhythm. Now, the thing is, when kids dare to dance and pranks, it shows they have bonus. And bonus is a spirit we must cultivate in our children. But when we stop and limit them, that bonus one day will fizzle away. And sometimes we get frustrated and say, how come you're such a coward? How come you don't let stand up? Because, let me tell you one thing. As parents, we want our kids to have life skills. And recently, the Lord told me, worshipping Him with bonus is a life skill every parent should impart to their children. Why I'm saying this to you. It's good that we can worship as a family with our kids. It's good to have weekly devotion with our family. It's good. But there are times your kids are going to be by themselves. There are times your kids will grow up. But when you imprint upon them bold worship, you can't be with them forever. As much as you want to be a helicopter parents, we can't be with them forever. But much more when they are by themselves, where they're going through a hard time, the hard struggle, if they can learn to make a joyful noise and dance and pranks before God, you are positioning your children for success and breakthroughs in the days to come. Can we do that? So if your kids feel like dancing, please don't stop them. It's okay. Right? Just don't get distracted. If you don't like the way they do it, pranks with them and see what happens. You know, see what God is leading to do this. But he says much more than this, is that the ability to worship boldly produces a spirit of joy. And when you have a spirit of joy, joy is a weapon of mass destruction on the works of the enemies in your life. The first thing the enemy needs to do to you is intimidation. Because you know why? Satan has budget problem. He can't expend all his energy. So because of budget constraint, what he does first is to intimidate you. Intimidation doesn't mean you need to do anything. And when I was young, I was quite a mischievous child. And all my mom had to say is, wait till your father comes home. She doesn't have to do anything. And from that point, I tell you, I better behave. But when the devil intimidates us through fear, through overthinking, through what could happen tomorrow, establish the spirit of boldness, of joy. Because when you have joy of the Lord, it is a weapon of mass destruction on the works of the enemy. Verse 6 says, Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills sing for joy together. You begin to see it's very progressive, this psalm. It starts with how God saved Israel, how God watches over Israel. Israel has reason to worship. And next thing is not just Israel, but the whole world will come to worship the Lord. Amen. To the ends of the earth, but much more now, whole creation is coming together. That means God is not just a king or Messiah over an ethnic group of people, but God is king and Lord over the whole entire world. But God is the ultimate sovereign over whole of all creation. Is there any lesser reason that why we can't worship? But here it is. It says here that God is not just the God of Israel, but God is sovereign over all nations. And it closes with this, before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth, he will judge the world with righteousness and with the peoples with equity. If those of you who know this last verse, it is the sad thing to Isaac Watts' hymn, Joy to the World. And contrary to popular belief, Joy to the World was never meant to be a Christmas hymn. Although we sing most time during Christmas season. Joy to the World was written by Isaac Watts 400 years ago to be a second coming hymn. He rules the world with truth and grace. Right? Remember that? Right? And all the nation will come together to prove the glories of his righteousness and the wonders of his love. So this is the coming of Lord Jesus Christ. So maybe it's time for us to break Joy to the World out of his Christmas box. We should try to sing Joy to the World as and when throughout the whole year if we can. Because this is our declaration, our bonus. Now, the next slide is, how do we put all this into practice? All right. First thing I will tell you to do, right? Take out your mobile phone right now. Take picture. You need to take picture because you know what I'm going to tell you. Ask God to give you a song in your heart to sing. This is your theme song. Dun, dun, dun. Okay, this is my theme song for 2022. Okay? The moment you wake up, you play it on your Spotify. Oh, people know mom is awake. That is a theme song. Right? But much more than that, this is ask God to give you a song for this season. Just like God gave me Shout to the Lord. Sing it every day. Sing it until God gives you another song. Don't say until you get sick of it, but sing it until, as I say, it's not you have a fight to win, but you have a win to fight. Can we do that? Okay? Ask God for a song, okay? Tonight, later, tomorrow, ask God to give you a song. Okay, this song could be a hymn, could be a Christian song, could be something you're going to compose on your own. Or it can even be a secular song, but it somehow speaks the truth. Okay? Like, I want to move it, put it in. It's a song God wants to give it to you. Second thing, next slide. Journal what God is saying to you through the song. Okay, journal it. Then share your story with someone. Okay, I'm not saying that today God give you a song, Amazing Grace means tomorrow you're going to share it with someone. You don't have to do it. Let that Amazing Grace sit with you for a season and ask God, what is God telling you through Amazing Grace? What is God saying about your life, about your marriage, about your work, about your study, about everything through that song? Okay? Can we do that? Then share with someone, either your 3-2-1, right, or in your life group with your best pal. But if you are that kind who's not the shy kind, put it into Instagram. Write into a Facebook story. Show picture. Okay, I hope by end of this year in December, I'm going to see all your songs being posted in Facebook or Instagram. So, wow, this is amazing what God is saying to you. Okay, I'm going to remind you guys every once in a while. Have you got your song ready? Have you journaled your song? Have you put it into a story? What is God saying to you? Can we do that? Yes. Okay, behind your mask, I can hear a muffle. Yes. Okay, good. The last thing I want you to do is this. Speak a new song for others to hear and be blessed. Okay, this is very scriptural. Ephesians, okay, next slide. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 to 20. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Here, Paul told Ephesians, the days are evil, means the days are chaotic. We are living in chaotic times. But he said, walk in wisdom. What do we do? He said, know what God's will is. What God's will is, he says here, don't get drunk. It's okay to drink, but don't get drunk. Don't be stimulated by a different kind of spirit, that's all. Or by the same spirit, but be stimulated by the Holy Spirit. He says here, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here is, make the best use of your time, despite the difficulties of the day. And one of the best use of our time is to walk in the Spirit. But he says, speak to one another with psalms. I'm glad he say here, say speak. Because God knows some of us cannot carry a tune. He doesn't want you to kill someone's faith with your singing. Right? He doesn't want you to put people through unnecessary trial through your singing. But he says here, speak in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So now, what can I do practically? Someone's birthday, okay. Kevin Chong's birthday is coming up soon. So I'm going to text him. Don't just say, happy birthday, brother. Speak a song. Say, as I pray for you, God has given me Psalm 23. God wants you to rest in Him. This is a psalm God has impacted me to share with you. No, when people come to their anniversary, to their birthday, or any special days, don't just say, congrats, wow, how wonderful it is. Be prophetic. Can we do that? Ask God for a song for them. Ask God for a psalm, for a hymn, for something that you put into their heart that they can be blessed by it. If they are very special, don't just say you are special, but manifest that specialness by saying that God has a song for you in this season. And I tell you, something great is going to happen. And this happened to me as well. A couple of years ago, I was again going through big struggle in many situations, wars at all fronts. And one day someone called me, and this is someone, a friend of mine who has migrated to Perth for the longest time. She and her husband used to be my church members, but they are now attending a different church. But we hardly see each other. But that day, I was struggling, and she called me and said, you know, Pastor, I just joined my church worship team. And since I joined my church worship team, God has given me a lot of songs, a lot of tune from the Psalms. And I wanted to ask my worship team to sing all these Psalms, but they say no. Right? So what do I do? I say, well, what do you do? So the Lord told me that I should sing to you. Oh. Can I do that? I say, sure, why not? After all, I'm going through a hard time. One more song is going to kill me, right? And she began to sing. And my goodness, as God is my witness, those tunes were so melodious and so beautiful. It was so heavenly. And she began to sing, you know, this is from Psalm 145. And I begin to record her. You can sing. And it just deposits something. Next day, she called me. Now, God gave me a tune from Psalm 91. Can I sing to you? Sure. She sang. Then, bye-bye, put down. Next day, she calls. God called me to sing Psalm 23 over you. And for a series of many days, she began to sing psalms to me. And I was looking out for her calls, actually, like someone is going to sing something. And oh, this, it brought a lot of understanding. It brought a lot of breakthroughs. It brought a lot of healing. And I thought, finally, one day, I felt I was out of the woods. The phone call never came anymore. And I sort of approached her. Oh, you stop composing songs out of something else. Oh, just she's very matter of fact. Oh, the Lord asked me, my assignment is done. How are you, Pastor? I say, I'm very good. You do not know what that song you have of someone is going to impact their life. But can we do it? So three things. Ask God for a song. For your season, this is going to be your theme song. Okay? Number two, journey into a story. Journal what God is saying to you and share with someone. As I say, if you're bold enough, put it in Facebook, put it in Instagram, make it a public declaration. Third, look around us as a community, not even just here, our friends, anyone here. How can we bless them? Sometimes the best blessing is not just a gift, but the best blessing we can give to one another is a word of encouragement through a song. Let us all rise. Father, we thank you for your glorious word, for your truth, for your kindness. And Father, on this day on, we want to learn that joyful noise that we can make unto you. We ask that, Father, in Jesus' name, that there will be a spirit of boldness be upon every person here, even those who are watching. A spirit of boldness in the way they worship, because as you stir their heart, you stir their spirit, there is a bubbling of joy. And never-ending joy that is so full that, Father, everywhere they go, they carry a touch of heaven. They carry a touch of heaven. Workplace is no longer a workplace. Campuses is no longer a campuses. The home is no longer a home. But become a place where heaven meets the earth. A place where people begin to see the supernatural happening. Fathers, Father, make us worshipers in spirit and in truth. Your faithfulness never ceases, because at the end of this year, the days are going to be troublesome one way and another. They're going to see your glory. They're going to see you be manifested. Let them find that song, Father, and let them sing songs and speak songs of life to their friends, to their loved ones, in Jesus' name.